Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon comes from the Acts passage. And we don't always hear a lot of sermons from the book of Acts, do we? In fact, this week I tried to think back through how many sermons I might have heard or read from the book of Acts over the years, and I really could only think of a couple. I led a Bible study a couple of years ago on the book of Acts as we were thinking about being in the midst of the pandemic, and as we were trying to figure out what being the church looked like in the absence of being able to gather together in person, and the ways that the disciples navigated the early beginnings of the church, coming together, being together. It was really a helpful study. But otherwise, we don't really hear a lot of sermons on the book of Acts. And in general, we just don't spend a lot of time there, do we? We spend a lot of time in the Gospels. We spend time in some of Paul's letters more than others. But for some reason, this week, I kept being drawn to this Acts passage and to learn a little more about Lydia, the woman we hear about in it. As I pondered this passage on this sixth Sunday of Easter, I kept being drawn to what God was doing in their lives. People who, like us, during this season of Eastertide, have been asking ourselves, okay, Jesus is risen, but now what do we do? The people in Acts were asking the same questions. You see, we've been trying this Eastertide to understand more fully and more deeply what Jesus' resurrection means for how we are to live in the world and in community with one another in the church. The disciples and the apostles in the book of Acts are wondering the same thing, and in today's story, we get to witness them trying to figure out how they are to live in a post-resurrection world. Remember, they had witnessed Jesus' suffering and death. They had engaged with him for 40 days after his resurrection, before he ascended into heaven. They witnessed his ascension, which we will celebrate next Sunday. And then on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, they received the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now they are trying to figure out how they are to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. 2,000 years later, I think we are still trying to figure out that same thing in our world, in our context, and in our lives. So here, in Acts chapter 16, we encounter Paul and his companions Silas and Timothy. They were traveling as the Spirit led them to Philippi, where they met a woman named Lydia. We know almost nothing about her, except for what these few verses offer. But still, she fascinates me. Who is she? The text tells us that she was a seller of purple goods and that she was a worshiper of God. And in these two phrases, we learn so much about her. First, she is one of the only women in Scripture who is not identified as property or in relation to a man. So in the biblical times, all over 1,000 years of them, women were seen and viewed as property. And nearly every woman in the Bible is introduced as she is related to a man, how she is one man's property, whether she is someone's daughter, or someone's mother, or someone's wife. But not Lydia. Lydia is introduced as just Lydia, a businesswoman who is independent and who is the head of her own household. This is incredibly rare in the Bible and in biblical times. She made her way as a successful business owner. Purple goods were incredibly, incredibly expensive. And to have her own household and to be an independent woman, independent of her relationship to a man, tells us that she was quite a successful businesswoman, able to manage her business, able to manage her household. And as such, she probably had a significant number or a significant amount of resources, including monetarily. In fact, Lydia's house will become the site of the house church for the church in Philippians, the church that Paul wrote the letter of Philippians to. So Lydia, in just these two verses, is introduced to us as quite a remarkable woman. She made her way successfully as an independent businesswoman in a world run by men. So in the two phrases, we learn that she is a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. We learn that work and worship both had their place in her life. She was kind of a combination of Mary and Martha, and I think is an example for all of us, where we have a balance of work and worship, work and worship. On this particular day in this story, she goes to the river to pray, likely because there was no synagogue in Philippi. Lydia, at that riverside, found God, who was already finding her. You see, this story reminds us that God is searching us out. God is seeking us, and God always finds us long before we ever seek or search or find God. This is one of the reasons why we baptize infants in the Lutheran Church, to remind us that God's love and God's mercy and God's grace for us is never about anything that we do or any effort on our part. Long before we can ever show any reciprocal nature of love or care back to God, God loves and cares for us fully and completely. Long before we can ever do anything to God or respond to God's love and mercy and grace, God has already reached out to us in love. God is always the initiator. God is always the one finding us. And at the riverside this day, Lydia found God, who had already been finding her. The Holy Spirit had sent Paul and his companions to her so that on this day she could hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And that same Spirit who brought Paul and his companions to her to hear that good news had already been preparing her heart to hear and to receive and to understand all that Paul would say. The text says that the Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And on that day, the longing that she had, the eagerness that the Lord gave her, was met with God's lavish and unlimited grace as she was baptized along with her household at that riverside. She was washed in God's love and mercy and grace. With God's word and water that day, her sins were forgiven, and she became God's beloved daughter. She was sealed with the Holy Spirit, and as she went under the water, she died to herself and to her sin and to death. And when she rose up out of that water, she was risen to new life in Christ, and she was transformed, not just in who she was, but we see it in her actions as well. God welcomed her as God's beloved daughter, and immediately her actions followed suit. She urged Paul and his companions to stay at her home. God had opened her heart, and she opened her home, offering all of who she was and all that she had so that God could use it to spread the good news of God's love and grace and mercy to all the world. We know that Paul stayed with Lydia in her house on multiple occasions, and that it was through her generous and abundant hospitality that the church in Philippi was started and grew and was sustained. Lydia, through her baptism, became a disciple of Christ, and God used her gifts of giving and generosity and hospitality to situate and grow the church in Philippi. Brothers and sisters, on this side of the resurrection, I want to remind all of us that our baptism is the same baptism that Lydia and her household experienced that day. That just as God found her, God finds us, and God never stops seeking us. We often wander from God. Our hearts are prone to wander, and yet God is always welcoming, waiting for us to welcome us home with God's arms and heart wide open. There's a reason that the baptismal font is at the front and center of our worship space. Every time we sit in this sanctuary, every time we worship God in this place, the font is to be at the center of our attention. Because our life in Christ begins and ends at the font. Just like Lydia, we are washed in God's mercy and love and grace. Just like Lydia, our sins are forgiven. We are given the gift of eternal life in this water through God's grace. And when we are baptized, we too are marked with the sign of the cross and are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit gives us gifts to love and serve God and love and serve the world. And then we are called out into the world to help spread the good news of God's love for all the earth and for all people in our words and our actions. In our baptism, we become new creations and we are transformed to be God's hands and God's feet, to be God's presence in the world. When we come to God's table, we are fed with the very presence of Jesus so that we can go out and feed the world with the love of God. We too are called on this side of the resurrection to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This isn't just the call for Paul, and it's not just the call for Lydia and the church at Philippi. It's the same call for all of us and for Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We, like Lydia, are called to offer God all of who we are and all that we have to help spread the good news of God's mercy and grace in the risen Christ. So when you come to the table today to be fed and nourished with God's love and God's grace so that you can go out and feed the world with that same love and grace, stop at the font and remind yourself that you are baptized, that your sins are forgiven in that water, that you are God's beloved children, that you too are marked with the sign of the cross and sealed with the Holy Spirit, who helps us to live out our baptismal calling, because we can't do it on our own. But God has given us God's very own Spirit to empower us and to inspire us, to guide us and lead us, to love God and love others and love the world that God has made and redeemed. As we too are filled with the Holy Spirit in our baptism, we are able to let our light so shine so that others may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. Amen.